This is the Mysterious Matters of Max Metters podcast, number 5. Mysterious Matters of Max Metters is a novel I wrote in 1991. If this is the first episode you're hearing, please go back and start with episode 1, which explains what's going on here. This podcast is a kind of audiobook. The novel Mysterious Matters of Max Metters by Peter Gelman is available as a traditional paper book through popular online booksellers. It is also available as an ebook for Kindle and Nook and other formats. I will now read chapter 4. 4. Afterwards, from the dull crash of crepuscule into the monotonous winter night, I went over to Lafcadio's place, and I walked alone in the room with my friends Lafcadio Champion and Tim Keefe behind in the other room. We could feel the new moon descending. It triggered a half-assed intellectual madness, our form of cabin fever. I was looking at the torn light in the night, the shifted I-beams and splintered squares of city shapes. Then I took a turn twisting the TV. I left the image on that weird static blue snow. There was a droopy moon in the lee of the city hall clock, a moon so weak and lazy could not but keep her changes straight against the wind. Lafcadio and Tim played chess on a folding table. "$5 says, $5, keep it friendly, or give me a queen. A rook." Tim, brooding, didn't respond. "A knight," Lafcadio asked. "There's got to be $5 in it," Tim protested. "Or you don't want to waste your time with me, eh? You've got to earn your wages." Lafcadio put a knight on his $5 bill. "I'm bored by this winter, monotonous and forever. Ergo, I wager." "Not just a wager, a revolt," I argued. "The mind and body unite in fire against forever. That's what winter is, forever." "Minnesota winter does last too long, but a wager is a revolt?" asked Tim. "Yes," I nodded. "If God knows all, he knows what he will choose. Thus cannot really choose. Thus has no free will. Only stupid mortals like us can take chances with what will be. Freedom is a fire of knowing. It burns in us, and so we live and die. We live, we burn our chances, we burn ourselves. When we gamble and lose, we say, 'The dice are hot,' or 'We got burned.' Thank you, Prometheus. When we gamble, we burn money and say, 'Isn't it hot?' F you, winter." "So I'm in on Tim for 5. "Take the center squares, Tim." "Talk to Tim, Max. It distracts him. Meanwhile, will I let him take the center squares?" Lafcadio smiled. Tim was annoyed. "Oh, the great Lafcadio chess devil. Give me your knight." Lafcadio set up the board, feasting on it. "I only need one knight to destroy a man." "Oh, listen to him," Tim clappered. "What a flappy mouth." "It's okay, though. I'll drink all the devil's beer. Everyone in this room is mental. Some more than others." "Wait, Tim," I waggled. "Where are you going with that move? This is mental chess. You are abusing your free will, sir. The center squares, Tim. The center squares.
No need. My turn. I've taken the center.
Lafcadio replied as he pushed a pawn.
Tim, you go. Maybe the center is overrated.
Max talks a lot.
Max is talkative.
He says, wagers are this, eternity is that.
You talk too.
A lot. I've heard you talk, you know.
Yes, Max, we converse.
I believe that's what it's called.
It's all good then.
Tim, really?
Then I'll take your pawn.
The center is mine.
So sad, you've lost already.
Tim said nothing. He had forgotten us and was busy thinking chess moves. He moved a bishop along the black squares.
Tim has not yet lost,
I insisted. See, a bishop has escaped your blockade.
His knights are young.
He still can castle.
The board is still unlocked.
No, Lafcadio corrected. It's quite locked, I'm afraid. I shape this civilization.
Poor Timmy has squandered his free will and let himself be transfixed by fate.
Doom is coming to your wager. Watch my fatal forks.
They both looked up. The wind brought the sound of sirens loud upon them suddenly, screaming ennui and mockery. When they both looked up, they looked right at me.
The wind, monotonous and forever, smirked Lafcadio.
This monotony is murder, I said.
No, said Tim, as Lafcadio's knight took another pawn.
This is murder.
We all looked at nothing for a moment as we listened to the siren. Tim's face was taut and withdrawn as he whispered, I could murder, I bet. I wonder if I could.
Shut up, I said.
You are the sort of fellow who falls in love with girls on buses, Lafcadio accused.
And in doing so, you gloss over the impersonal copulations and fornications of thousands of our brothers and sisters.
All the while they copulate, they produce neither children nor love.
Sweet man, what do you know? You fork, but you never pin. You are the sort of fellow who does not fall in love with girls on buses, said Tim, uncapping and handing me a bottle of Old Mill. Wearily, I took the bottle and asked,
how much more do we have to drink? Compared to falling in love with girls on buses?
What's the point?
Don't malign my sublime. Do you mind?
How much cheap ferment would it take to restore us to that fine, fine state of fond fraternity?
Oh, sarcasm, methinks. Drunken, profound.
What, have we bored Max to tears? Said Lafcadio to Tim, who was blinking, because Lafcadio had just refused to attack Tim's unsupported bishop with his own. He had just moved his knight instead.
Yeah, he said, when Tim nodded, shook his head, and shrugged.
And you, Lafcadio continued,
you put us down? What's the alternative to buddydom?
You are the form, fit, and function of an idler. I mean, a metaphysician. A philosopher of the barber's court, my foster grandfather would say. As you sit with your finger up your ass, how do you have time to unbutton girls on buses' blouses? Not an idler. If my finger is up my ass, it is because I seek an idyll, I said, and paced in a circle. You are an ill-mannered young man, Lafcadio. You wear your hair long, like Socrates, and yet you are a philosopher of the barber shop. Some day somebody's gonna clip those curly locks. I came over and said, yeah, I've been reading this old book, and Plutarch notes that Socrates' wife was a scold and his children idiots. Tim was nervous. Glancing briefly at me, he moved his medieval men. Lafcadio lured out Tim's queen like so. Bishop fell to bishop. Bishop fell to queen. Supported by his center pawns, Lafcadio's knight chased the queen. Tim lifted his chess finger, then he groaned. Knight jumped and forked Tim's royal matrimony. The king had to move. You have no wife, said Lafcadio, lifting his horrible knight. He took Tim's queen. Are you saying we're your children? What an egomaniac you are, Metters. A melancholy megalomaniac. Cheer up, he held up Tim's queen. Cheer up! Unable to castle, Tim pushed his king into the breach, touching at the enemy knight, upon whose backward escapes Lafcadio's own pawns stood blocking. Had Lafcadio fixed his tricks too much on one piece and overreached? No, Lafcadio chuckled and himself castled, the ray of his rolling rook protecting the horseman. Tim smiled bitterly. But, I said, at first self-goof mockingly, then seriously in spite of myself. I confessed, maybe I got some kind of melancholia. A moral melancholia has got its grips on me, but I can't cheer up. What a dumb thing to say. Cheer up. Cheering up is just not right. Cheering up is just glossing over the dirty. You smile. That's your Cheshire cat smile. You can smile that smile and say, cheer up. Have a Coke. You can say Coke. You can say Pepsi, but what you've got is a can of choke and dirtsy. I don't know. It's, oh shoot, I can't explain to you what I am. You think you know, like I think I know you, old dude. Bad smiling dude you are, impractical tyrant. Goat and lizard. Nice guy, yeah, but all arrows, no agape. No caritas, neither. Empirical, yes, but no inspiration. All roboto you are, if not immoral. Too cynical to love. You are the robot of lust. Robot, yes. Lust, yes. Empirical, yes. Yes. Not cynical. Not cynical. I am, in fact, an idealist, not a cynic. A cynic is moribund, while I can act instinctively with the boldness and cunning thoughtlessness of a tiger. I would devour a woman. Feminine love requires humility of a man. Humility to me is indifference, and indifference to me is death. Then you too, buddy, are inhabited by a moral melancholia, I said. I don't see it that way, Max. No, you don't. But listen. The distant siren resounded. Lafcadio said softly. Poem for a dollar. Give me a dollar, I said, and opening the book, looking at the lines, I changed them, without plan. A cry! A cry! I heard a cry through the terror-stricken sky, rolling like atomic rocket, fucking the moon's eye socket. There the murderer grins by night with a most Einstein-y light. There the cinema plays real by day, over the hills and far away. Here comes my night. Check. By the Rook. No, 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 I don't see it that way, asserted Lafcadio, and his knight trampled another pawn. Check again. Why moons and murderers, Max? In fact, I find your philosophies dingy with that toxic nostalgia. Not Max, but Minimum. Which isn't that pagan Moses that I know better. Tim moved his hapless king and lost a knight, his last. Lafcadio's ghastly knight, now fork, king, and pawn. Down, down puzzled another pawn to join the tumbled tomb of Tim's chestocracy. Lafcadio slid his center-holding pawn forward, lancing kingward, not mate, not check, but closing a final fist of rook, pawn, and knight. You know better. You know better. You know nothing, I scoffed. You're all talk. Is talking thinking? Thinking out loud? Or just warming the atmosphere? Have words any substance? And what do you mean pagan? Pagans believe in something. It's just not orthodox. So I'm not a pagan. My orthodoxy is paradoxy. Cross out both sides and you got 0 = 0. Can't divide by 0. Try it. No way, man. Play your chess. Maximize. Get him, Tim. Hopeless. Hopeless and doomed from turn 3. Which Shakespeare play is this? In which the bad guy wins as foretold? I should resign, but I won't. That's Shakespeare in a nutshell. There you go. Lafcadio looked up triumphantly. We are the same, Max. Only you believe in nothing, and therefore can act, but never succeed. And I believe in anything, so I cannot act, but success finds me. That it does. But you say I am pagan. If so, how do I truly believe in nothing? Lafcadio calculated. Let's say this. What makes you pagan really is that you want to be good, but believe man is helpless before the capricious gods. Me, I'm evil. I believe there is a possibility of using the cruel cosmic plan to trick the gods, to sometimes do our will. You and I both want that pyramid of justice that's on the back of the dollar bill. But the hovering eyeball of Pharaoh watches. Please, I protested. Have you seen a mummy? Pharaoh is not a god. Please, you, sir. Have you seen the picture on the dollar bill? Call it what you will, but God is a God. I ask you, how can we have a pyramid of progress without a big evil eyeball watching? What is a pyramid but a fancy tomb? Someday there will be a cataclysm. True, the sun will expire. The future has a heat problem. This is not a problem for me, but it's a problem for you. That's why you follow your own spark of now. Where does that private rebellion lead you?
Prometheus in chains for all the good works he did. What does he have now? A liver problem. My kind will eat your liver, and in doing so become the thing we hate. In a way, you will crush me. I will always admire your doomed goodness, even if futile. That's why I say you are like Manfred on his mountain. How can man triumph when the soul is crushed by the evil that grows out of the very flaws that define him? He cannot. But the good works pass on to the next. Crushed! Hear that pounding? Hear that racket? Sirens, ambulances, fire trucks howling, honking. That ain't murder. That be fire. Fire! An ice castle burning. That's my revolt. My revolt shall be dissolved by its own absurdity. Yours, Tim, that physical blood thing, that murder thing. Please, man, it is feeble, and it will be overlooked, as is all things old and dead, like your celebrated ancients, Max, fossilized forever in their dead language. You know Latin, and you matters. Yeah? You want to be mad. You're cursed. Wanting to be mad makes you more sane. See, you've got that dark and pagan brain. You've got that vaccination scar on your muscle and shivers up your sleeve. The idealists of this age, the therapists and tree huggers and joggers and what, and lifestyles of the rich and famous and press secretaries speaking in tongues and that so-called Neo-Victorian women's movement. They are the social counter-revolution compounded by the post-industrial decline. But what are they? A mere nostalgia. No, you'll have none of the New Age and animal rights and hotel room paintings' yellow love of Christian nature. You seek the civilization of the ideal, which is dark and pagan, logical, but without postulates. A marble column with no foundation. That's why you can't cheer up, Max. That's why I love you. But there ain't no room for a love like my love. My love is pure asbestos and illegal. It gives cancer, too. I believe in progress, but there is no hope for me. I am evil. I give up my other rook. I don't want it. Who gave it to me? It's just sitting here stuck behind the pawn. Get the hell off my chessboard. Yeah, roll under the chair and fall in love with a girl on a bus. Lafcadio, you can change, can't you? Fall in love with a girl on a bus? You're free, hey? I said, wondering. Am I? Lafcadio stared and fixed his tie and said, I do not ride the bus. It is easier for the whole world to change than an evil man. The evil man can't change. That's the definition of evil. Every man's a king at heart, and I always choose regicide. I am like Dracula. Drive a stake through my heart. I don't know. Who am I and where am I? A drunk young executive among his punk rock friends. On the river are anchored dredging barges. And in the land, empty iron mines. Through the other window I see Toyotas. Along a 1,000 miles of perfectly flat highway. And look a little farther, see little brown hands begging for rice. Where is there room for a man like me in all the bitter cross-indexing of the world when your kind and my kind
get together and measure up the future, I guarantee you, my kind will be on the board of directors, finding a kind of cinema of living in the tides of stocks and bonds, while your kind ODs on sniffs of real leaded gasoline and true love, not ethanol and not infatuation. Evil makes you blind with a kind of cinema of life. Cinema! I'm blinded by too much cinema. How can I see anything for what it really is anymore? Still, I have something you do not. My evil gives me a power, and I use that power to believe and hope and progress. Said Tim, I don't envy you guys. I mean, let's say for the sake of argument that I'm not too bright. Not good looking. Can't judge whiskey. But all the same, I know myself. Can you say that, Lafcadio? Lafcadio. Tim, you are self-aware because you are simple. That is a gift sometimes. I know nothing. Nothing but the arts didactic, the arts historical, the means, but not the end. A temporary dementia. Hey, I could have told you was crazy, I yelled. How could you? You're crazy yourself, yelled Lafcadio. Shit, you have to be a genius to be normal in these crazy times, said Tim. That kind of genius never spends its capital, said Lafcadio dryly. The reason you are evil, Lafcadio, said Tim, warming up, is that you are a good man, but a coward. I am not a coward, said Lafcadio, almost pouting. Could see in that expression what he was like as a foster child 20 years ago. Check, mate, in 2 moves, he said angrily. Dare 'em, I egged him. I dare you to get a tattoo, said Tim. Lafcadio paused, lifting his eyebrows. Tattoo? It is immortal as it is invisible. What do you say, Max? If I get one, we all do. I shrugged okay. I will, but only when I figure out something that will always be true. Lafcadio was interested. You want to wear a tattoo with authority, like a badge? Like a mermaid or something is a search and seizure warrant for life? Can a secret tattoo keep the mind clean, the body fit, the soul pure? I don't care, I said. I mean, my name's not Mike. I mean, so you get a Mickey Mouse under your shirt. So what? No one will see it. Eventually, you'll forget about it. Then it will just be another scar. At night, all cats are gray. The night is all gray cat. Tim made a gun of his hand and shot his temple. Gloom and doom! Shut up, man! You say you are evil? Let's rob a bank. I dare you. Boo-hoo! I lose. Idiot! My evil is not violent. It is a perverse pleasure principle. I am not violent. Try as I might, I can't imagine dying, said Lafcadio. No. Come to my party instead. Bring your guitars. It's open mic night. He turned and looked behind him. Did you hear that noise? No. No? How could you miss that awful noise?
It wasn't a noise.
What was it then?
A word, as in this.
Look! Wow!
Across two blocks, there was a tall black building on red broiling pitch, smoke, and fire.
It was so rich with color and texture, and the building seemed so standing out immortal as it burned.
I was thinking about this and about it being like the body, only breathing was burning, and burning was living, the finite life we got. And that light and its texture was like a language.
Our body is a kind of paste of words, I asked, or is it blood and bones?
Blood and bones, Max, blood and bones. Tim patted my back.
You have been deceived, said Lafcadio. The truth is that we are just a dream.
I huffed.
A dream? No. I feel far, far too fleshy and corrupt and... I just made the noise of it. To be nothing but a dream?
Lafcadio stared. I went on.
Yet you were conspiring yourself, thinking yourself corrupt. You could not see the deeper corruption around you.
Lafcadio was still staring. He quaked open his tiger-tusked mouth. With demanding teeth, he demanded,
You are real? Who are you? How do you know so much? Were you there when you first knew you were real?
No.
You just assumed from the beginning that what you knew, left, right, up, down, that it was what it seemed. Who told you? Why do you doubt so much, believe the biggest lie of them all? This is real?
I suddenly felt unsure.
Isn't it? I asked.
I am afraid the truth is much more depraved than you are aware. Now Lafcadio was silent, staring at me. He was telling me that he was thinking depraved thoughts about me.
Tim pointed. Lafcadio and I turned and saw the fires leap higher, the jets of water, the horrible and exciting flash and broil of the city on fire. What was that sound? That awful racket? That smell? Everyone was peeking, pointing, wowing. It was the city on fire!
Thank you for listening. The Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License protects this work. Mysterious Matters of Max Metters by Peter Gellman is available as a traditional paper book through popular online booksellers. It is also available as an ebook for Kindle and Nook and other formats.